You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
What up, what up? I'm Matt Dolkin, and you're listening to the October 10th, 2017 edition of On The Daily. I'm here with my guest, fellow RotoViz contributor, contributor to the $4 package. You can get three articles by me, course intro, key stats, picks, and chalk pivots, and John's model, all for $4 at rotoviz.com/PGA. We've been printing money over there. It's been awesome. Nine of my picks last week made the cut. I did well. How you doing, John?
Doing well, man. Happy to be back. A little upset I did not play last week. I had some so wait for the weekend, didn't have a chance to get lineups in, and I'm definitely regretting it.
Yeah, that's too bad. I felt like last week was pretty easy, especially I played a little bit of cash, which I usually don't do, but it was so straightforward. But yeah, I'm glad you're back too, because you know I felt a little lonely. I did the you know, the solo pod, and I started talking to myself. Well, basically, I did it for about 35 minutes, which is what you do on a solo pod. But then just the dynamic of it gets kind of funny because you're just in your own mind having a conversation with yourself that other people are going to listen to later.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice to have you here to keep me grounded.
All right. Well, I'm happy to be here.
Coming off last week, Brendan Steele had the win. I wrote him up. I thought he was the top play on the board. And this week we are off to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for the CIMB Classic, a tournament co-sanctioned by the PGA Tour and the Asian Tour. The event has been played here at TPC Kuala Lumpur, the West Course, since 2013, so we have some golfers we can check out. We have two back-to-back champions. We have Justin Thomas in 2016 and 17, and Ryan Moore in 2014 and 2015. The course is just over 7,000 yards. It's a par 72. And when you see a par 72 that's just slightly over 7,000 yards, you already know that's real short. It's lined with thick trees and bunkers, but the fairways are wide and the rough in itself is not penal. The fairways and the greens are both papsulum or paspalum. I'm seashore grass. I'm not sure how to say that because I haven't had to say it since like last year, and I wasn't on a podcast saying it. I was just saying it in my head, so it didn't matter. But this grass is really going to affect the way the tournament plays compared to other weeks because it's extremely easy to putt on. You're going to get a true lie, and it's going to affect the around the green work. It really grips the ball. It plays slow. So I think the putters that are really good are going to be brought a little closer to the terrible putters this week, which there's a couple prices on guys that this really feeds into this week, which is really interesting. Two of the par fives will be reached into regularly, like pretty much on the first two par fives. If your guy doesn't at least birdie those, like if he's not birdieing those all weekend, he's not going to do well this week because everybody is going to be reaching into. Three of the par fours are drivable. I mean, scoring is going to be crazy this week. It's going to be a track meet. That's evidenced by the last four winners averaging 20 under. I'm going to just go through the weather and key stats, and then I'll let John break his silence when we get into the player pool. I do have something. So I like to use windfinder.com. to check the weather. Do you use Windfinder?
I use Weather Underground.
Oh, that's awesome. That's like my second favorite app.
Yeah, I have not used Windfinder before. But
have you ever like pulled up their homepage or anything? You've never like been to the website?
I'm doing it right now. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, are you looking at it with all like the wind going around and the crazy colors?
Yeah.
So I was looking at this and I was just like, I don't know what it's like, but if I were to take some mushrooms This would be like the most awesome thing you could possibly look at.
Yeah, it would be. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, if you don't know, just go to windfinder.com and check it out. They just need to project that onto like a circular movie theater that just has, you know, walls on each side, and then you just sit in the middle in a chair and it just rotates slowly as you eat mushrooms.
Yeah, this is very chill. Yeah, you would not – no bad trips while watching this. You'd just be nice and calm.
Yeah. You'd be traveling to other places. It'd be awesome. But yeah, if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's just a great visual. But the weather does not seem like it'll be a factor this week. There's an airport near the course that you can use to check out. But, I mean, as always, you're going to want to check that a little closer to lock. One thing I wanted to know, keep in mind when you're checking stuff out before the new year, because you got to keep in mind the difference between the actual year and the PGA season, which keeps messing me up. But so definitely pay attention to that. But
yeah. What 2018 season?
Yeah, exactly. So the group of guys that I looked at was obviously the winners over the past 4 years, Justin Thomas and Ryan Moore. And I went and looked at all the guys who got second place. So Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott, Ryan Moore, Sergio Garcia, Kevin Na, and Gary Woodland. So when I looked at those guys who had success here as my focus group, we saw an insane correlation of driving distance. Only two of the guys in that group were under 300-yard average in the year that they competed. So we're definitely going to want bombers here. And, on the other side, we saw driving accuracy not be, you know, something that correlated heavily with that group. An extremely strong tee-to-green game came into play here, which makes sense because putting is going to be easy. So, I mean, everybody's going to be putting well pretty much on such easy greens with an easy surface. And also, strokes gained approach came up next. And after that, birdie or better, which makes a ton of sense because we know that this is going to be a track meet. There's going to be you really need scores this week because if you got a steady guy, he's going to get outscored in DraftKings points scored finishing position first the field. Even if, you know, he has a decent finish, there's going to be guys above him if he's just the kind of guy that's a grinder. So you really need scores this week. And also we saw strokes gained approach. I'm not sure if I said that. So this is a bomb and gouge course. You're going to want to get it out there, and then you're going to want to, you know, be skilled with that second shot and put yourself in a good place to make a putt. And that's what I have for the key stats.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, this is a ready-made bombers course. It's, like you said, a short par 72. Yeah, a birdie on those par fives is basically par. So, yeah, I'm with you 100% on all that.
Yeah, and there's no advanced course history this week because they haven't had the shot link data out there. So I'm not sure if they're going to have it this year. I doubt it. But we're going to just be using regular course history, which is – it's not as cool because I didn't – it's not my thing. But it'll have to work. So let's start right at the top. Maybe we should touch on this. It sucks this time of year when football is like in full force and like we see the PGA contest get kind of small. Like last week there was over 8,000 people in the dog leg, and this week it's like just over 4,000 entrants. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's I think the level of competition this week is going to be maybe a little tougher than normal. Just because the diehards are going to be playing. So it's probably people that are experienced and there might be a way to take advantage of that, though, because, you know, a lot of the good players tend to be on the same guys. So I think it might be a good week to be, try to be a little different from the herd. I guess we say that most weeks, but
You know, I think that's a good idea, and it kind of scares me because I haven't really looked at who other people are on, but I feel like I'm thinking kind of chalky this week because there's a lot of plays in the lower range that are almost just given to you. Like, it's like, I don't even know how to pass it. But at the same time, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like there's money being brought in from football and people don't. But
yeah, that's true too.
But then the other side is people don't like to lock up their money for Sunday. So
right.
But okay, we don't know. But
I really don't know.
Yeah, it's just, it makes it specifically the higher dollar stuff. At least I looked at like the 333 and it was only like 300 or 400 people. And I'm just looking at the entrance, and it's like all people I know and respect in the industry, or I at least have heard of and write and are really into it. So it's like, it's really hard, especially to go up to like bigger stakes when I definitely feel like it's a lot of really sharp people in there. And it's like, obviously, you know, you want to, you know, compete with the best, but you also want to compete with some of the worst at the same time.
Yeah. I'll take the worst every time. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's like poker, right? I mean, you want to play against people you can beat, not against. It's harder to make money against tougher competition.
Yeah,
but So maybe be a little careful this week.
Yeah. So there's only one place to start this, and it's at the top. We have three guys in the five-digit range this week. First, we're going to have to decide between the top two because, I mean, they're way above Paul Casey, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama. Where are you going?
I think I'm going Justin Thomas, I guess. I mean, he's got two wins in a row. He's red hot. The only possible thing I could think of to say against Justin Thomas is maybe this is like a letdown tournament or something. You know, he had such a great end to the season that his heart might not be 100% into this tournament, but that's just, I have no idea if that's true or not, and I don't really expect that to be true, but that's the only possible negative I could even come up with.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think it's Justin Thomas all the way.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting off him because I completely agree for most golfers I would have that opinion, but Justin Thomas is just not that type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he is either. And he's two wins in a row on this course is kind of amazing. Hard to look past that, and I don't know. We could see like some Tiger Woods at Bay Hill kind of thing where he just wins every year. I'm wondering if that's going to happen with him here.
Yeah, and it's a lot. It's way different than a lot of weeks because of this, you know, crazy pricing, like we touched on. Like you're gonna end up with Justin Thomas or Hideki. It's just so easy to get them in. Like you're not sacrificing anything whatsoever getting them in.
No. 78 players and no cut. There's no reason not to. They have so much win equity. I can't really think of a reason not to play them.
Yeah. So I think.
So that, it's really going to be.
Go ahead.
It makes them almost not interesting, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tougher choices are going to be further down. The salary range, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think it's Justin Thomas in cash and then like maybe like split your exposure 50-50 in GPP, which I really hate to do. Yeah. I really hate to like be really weak and not make a stand. But in a situation like this, it's just those guys just have so much more win equity than everybody else in the field. They're just so much better. I mean, yeah, Paul Casey's there, but we know he doesn't win. So,
right. And I do. I think Paul Casey is the clear number three here. There's not anyone else, really. It's Thomas and Matsuyama 1 and 2, and Paul Casey clear third.
Yeah. I could see a situation maybe where I just put Hideki and Casey in there if I really want to go down to the bottom. But, I think we've expressed where we're at. It's really hard to separate these guys out. It's pretty obvious. JT is the play. There's nothing against him. Let's move down. Yeah. I'm really surprised to see Charles Schwartzel up here. I mean, I think he's a really good golfer, but I just feel like it's kind of weird to see him up here, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not exactly like he's not a birdie machine kind of guy, but I think his game fits pretty well. I'm not really shocked to see him here. I mean, how's he grayed out? I mean, I actually do have him fourth in my model has him. Let's see. My model has him fourth. So I'm not super surprised to see him there.
Is that in finishing position or DraftKings points?
DraftKings points.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So finishing position, I got him. Yeah, he's fourth in that too.
So wait, DraftKings points correlate with finishing position?
Yes. Yeah, they will, I think, especially this year.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Shocker. And I think, you know, especially this week since, not everybody, but they're going to be a lot of people making birdies. So, yeah, there's no cut. You're going to need to pick. Oh, you're going to need to pick the winner to do anything in a tournament this week. Anything in a GPP.
For sure. So I have a question for you about me. I have been fading Xander for like the whole year because I didn't get on him. And I continue to not play him, and I see him at 9,700, and the first thought in my head is, fade, he's going to be popular, everyone's all over him. Ah, no. Let me ask you, John, am I being ignorant?
No, I think that's fair. Fade the winner, especially when it's a newer guy. Especially when it's not, Jordan Spieth or somebody like that, right? I think he will be popular this week. He did go somewhat low owned like all last year, basically, even after he was winning and placing high and all that. I don't expect to see that this week though.
I think he's gonna be the only thing is stone.
Yeah, because there's no one else. Well, I mean, the only other guy in that range is Charles Schwartzel, who's. Yeah, I don't see him sucking up ownership away from Xander Schauffele. So yeah, I think he will be high owned.
Yeah, he's one of the guys I've already seen the Twitter golf guys on, like the DFS, not the betting guys, but the DFS guys are really on him from what I've seen so far. So I really think that he's going to be super popular. If you were to pick a guy,
probably a good time to fade.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really like this 9K range. I think I'm pretty much not going to play any of these guys, just because I think the three up top are so strong, and the guys in the low 7K range are so strong that I think I'm pretty much you're not really getting any value on these guys. So I think just I'm going to literally not play one of them in any lineup.
I'm with you. I don't see a lot of value in these guys either.
One thing was interesting. Poulter, I don't know. 28-1? I don't know why that just seemed like a little high of odds to me. I don't know why they're killing him.
There's only 78 players in the tournament, so I think that's probably why.
That's a fantastic point. Moving into the go ahead.
Yeah, he's right up there though with Schwartzel and Schauffele and everything. He's right in their range. So yeah, I think that is a little high for him, even given the small field. So yeah, I guess I'm on board with you.
Well, and he's not a bomber.
No, he's not.
So I mean, he doesn't fit the course at all. But, I mean, he does have the skill in the second shot, so.
Yeah, I think I'd rather take Gary Woodland in this range, though. You know, his game's tailor-made for this course.
I agree with you. So, let's do this high 8K range. A guy I really like is Peters. The guy can, I'm not sure how much of an advantage there is with these Euro guys this week, because I was looking at the map and I was like, is it really closer to where they're coming from in Europe? And it's not closer for them. So a lot of these guys are traveling a similar amount of distance as us.
Yeah, true. The Euro guys do have a little more, I think, experience playing in different countries and different type of courses. So maybe it's like, maybe it's less of a disadvantage for them rather than, American golfers tend to stay in, in the U.S. and play, U.S. courses. So I think it might be a little bit of an edge for them, but not much.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't know if have you looked at the course? Like, I went through all the holes and it kind of looks like an American course. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not like the English link style or like something weird. Like, it's wide fairways. Well, it's lined with trees and there's some water and a lot of traps.
Yeah, no, that's an American style course for sure. And I guess we've seen the winners are, you rattled off a bunch of Americans too, so or at least PGA Tour players, I should say.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe there's something to that. Peters over the last 12 rounds, first the field. I mean, this is, obviously these rounds go back a while. But just to get an idea of where he is versus this field, 7th tee to green, 24th off the tee, 6th in approach, and 44th around the green. Just statistically, he's, he's cheap. Like, I could definitely see him being in the 9K range, just how he fits the course so well and how much you really need to score this week. And Peters is the definition of a scorer. The guy can just really go low.
Yeah, he can. Let's see. His last three performances on the European Tour haven't been real good. Let's see. He missed the cut at the Maiden Denmark and then had a 66th and a 74th place at the Czech Masters and Portugal Masters. So his form doesn't look like it's super sharp, but it's not a huge turn for me.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not a cash game play, but I think in GPPs he's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, you're right. The form is it's concerning, but I mean, I think everybody's going to look at that form and it'll make him be low owned.
Yeah, maybe.
Moving down, if he hadn't won last week, I would like Brandon Steele. Cam Smith can score, but he's just kind of priced out of his skill level right here. Kevin Na, he's not really a bomber, even though he has had good results here in the past. Is there anyone else that you wanted to touch on in the 8K range?
Nobody I really love. Let's see. Schneider Jans is, he can get on birdie streaks. That's about the only other guy that really stands out here, I would say.
Yeah. Schneider. Go ahead.
Yeah, like you were saying, the 8, 9K ranges is tough this week. It's most of the value plays are down in the 7K range, which might make this a good controlling strategy for tournaments is to play some of these 8K guys. Nas had good results here, like you said. So I do think he's a little interesting. But, yeah, none of these guys really without any game theory considerations, I don't love any of these guys in the 8K range.
That's a good way to say it. The only thing about Schneider Jans, I guess – I don't know. Well, the form's okay. I don't know. He played He played well last week, but before that, he didn't have the greatest form. But I guess he's fine. Like I don't know. He's someone I'm kind of on the fence with. Like, I don't know if I kind of got caught up in the hype if he's like as good as I think he is. And I'm starting to think that Grayson Murray is like legit and maybe like better than a lot of these guys that I thought were way better than him.
Yeah, Grayson Murray is interesting. I think he's going to have a very good year. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on him going forward this season. I do like his game. And he's got great driving distance too. So for that reason, just for the if you want to go the driving distance angle, Grayson Murray is a great play.
Yeah. So
in fact, I have him as the longest driver in this field. So there you go, Grayson Murray.
There you go. You want your bomber. You want a guy who can score. That's Grayson Murray. I mean, I've been playing. You play him on the weekends. He always gets a ton of birdies. But yeah, I think that's it for the 8K range. I like Ollie. I like that call. Getting into the 7K range, I think it kind of got some guys that may have some spillover from last week's ownership. Griot and Uline. Uline missed the cut, I believe, but I still think people really like him. Yeah, he missed the cut. I still think people really like him, but I don't necessarily love him here. And Griot, this course just doesn't fit him because he's not a bomber.
No, he's not. The course doesn't fit him very well. He does much better on the accuracy style courses. And Uline, I would stay away from Uline too. He's going to be high owned. I don't know why everyone is on him. I guess people play him in Euro, DraftKings Euro contest a lot, and I guess his ownership spills over from there mostly.
Like all of like last year, he's like the hot new thing. I play Euro DFS too for golf, and he's always like 30 or 40% owned, and also like the popular golf bettors on Twitter all love Uline. They're always betting him, so that's something I think really drives DK ownership. Is a lot of crossover between the betting and the DraftKings players, so I think that's another reason.
Definitely. One thing I will say in his favor is that he does drive the ball a long way. So he fits that angle, but I think he's just going to be too high owned for what his upside is.
Yeah, he's definitely someone people are trying to get on early. That was funny. Last week when I was going into the week, I was like, oh, I'm going to play all these web tour guys. No one's going to be on them. And then like, I got later in the week and I was like, everybody is writing up all the web tour guys, like all the new PGA Tour players. Everybody wrote up Wise, McNealy, Keith Mitchell, Uline, and I was just like, I think I have to fade all these people. They're like they're going to be like 20% owned, and they're next to these proven guys. And I think that's why last week was kind of easy.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully we get something this week.
Yeah. Moving down, a guy that I'm really attracted to is Bud Cauley.
Me too. And Kyle Stanley at 7,600. I like him too.
I want to look into Stanley a little more. He did pop in the playoffs. Bud just stood out. He's a decently long driver of the ball. He can score, and he has incredible form. Over his last 12 rounds, he's 8th tee to green, 8th off the tee, 11th in approach, 49th around the green. I don't know. Like, Stanley, it's funny. For some reason in my mind, I think of him as not a bomber. But, I mean, he drives the ball further than Bud does. And
yeah, they're both about the same. Like they're not Grayson Murray, but they hit, you know, they're around 300 yards, give or take, depending on how you measure driving distance.
Yeah, and he's seen the course twice.
That's plenty long enough. And Stanley's good with long approach shots too.
Well, I don't think he's going to be hitting a ton. He's not going to be hitting a ton of long approach shots this week.
Yeah, no, just the par five long shot, the second shots on the par five. He's pretty good with those.
Okay.
Where do I get him?
And he can score. He finished, 29th in birdie or better percentage on the tour last year.
Yeah.
So definitely like those two guys. And then next is like here. These are the guys. It's just like this makes no sense whatsoever. Graham DeLette, 7,500, and Keegan Bradley at 7K. I mean, what? How are these guys priced so low?
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. So Keegan Bradley. I mean, this is a good course for him. He's a long driver of the ball, and he doesn't putt very well. So, I'm with the thing that the putting will sort of be leveled out this week because it's, a little bit an easier putting course. I think that it sets up really nicely for Keegan Bradley. And he finished sixth here last year and 10th back in 2013. So,
yeah,
he seems to have performed here pretty well. So, yeah, I don't understand the pricing. I guess it's just the win equity thing.
Well, you just need. I mean, in this range, you just need someone that's going to put up a ton of birdies.
Yeah, and he's a good guy for sure.
Yeah, it's funny because I want to say that three word phrase, but it's kind of scary to say it for Keegan Bradley. But cash game lock. No.
Well, it's 7,000. And he can't miss the cut. So
yeah, exactly.
So why not?
It's a scary thing to say, but it just seems like the right play this week. But yeah, Graham DeLette.
There's some other great plays. Yeah.
It just makes no sense in this field. Just like last week, maybe he's getting left down in this low price range because he hates DFS. DraftKings is like, well, we're going to make you really cheap then.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
I guess so. But he's really, he's a proven veteran guy that can, he can score, he can play in tough fields. I don't, 7,500 seems too low for him here.
Definitely. I mean, in this field, tee to green, over the last 12 rounds, he's second. It just makes really no sense. The around the green work is not going to be super important this week, which we know is like his worst thing. But in his last 12 rounds in this field, he's still 15th around the green because, you look at something that Graham DeLette might do poorly and is still going to be way better than a lot of guys that are in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jim Herman is 7,500. Who would you rather have?
Yeah.
Siwoo Kim, 7,500. Yeah, he's a much better golfer than both those guys.
Yeah, and then, you go ahead and you look at the odds to win of these guys, 40-1 on DeLette. Then you look at Bradley, 70-1. I mean, it's crazy. We talked about Bud earlier, 40-1. Another guy I like in this range, I don't know if I just think he's better than he is or whatnot, but I like Jamie Lovemark this week. I just think he fits the course really well.
Yeah, definitely. He's a bomber. He's a guy that's sort of, how do you say that? He's a little bit erratic, right? He's a little, he'll miss a lot of cuts. but not this week. He's not going to miss any this week. So, but yeah, he's great. His game sets up good. He bombs the ball, and he makes a lot of birdies. So, yeah, I definitely like love Mark this week.
For sure. Yeah, this whole range down here is just like an abundance of goodness. I mean, you can Lucas Glover, if you're a Lucas Glover type of guy, he should be fine here. Right at the 7K range, you have Sink. I mean, Tee to Green, he's very strong. He's a bomber too. Kevin Tway, he's a bomber. These are all guys that I really like. Like, you could pretty easily play Hideki, you know, and Justin if you want. Here, let's see if we can do this. I put Sink in there. I put Tway in there. I put Keegan. All right, live lineup build. Rotoviz.com. We do not endorse giving out lineups. No, okay, you can't do it. Not in that 7K range. So I'm wrong, but you could definitely pepper that range and get Paul Casey and Hideki for sure, or Paul Casey and Justin Thomas. So,
right.
Yeah, the lineup build is just...
Yeah, like Jonathan Vegas is in here too. He's another bomber. Harold Varner's in there too, 7,200. Another bomber. Yeah, these guys fit the course really well. So, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe, you know, take your Hideki, take your Justin Thomas, and, yeah, pepper in a lot of these guys. Mix and match.
Definitely.
And I wonder, though, yeah, as the week goes on, we'll see where people are at. I wonder if that's going to be a popular strategy this week.
Oh, it's got to be, because it's what you know, the slate gives to you. It's just, it's so clear.
Like, yeah.
Maybe a really good week for cash games, because it's just, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can even go down to Chad Campbell at 6,800.
Yeah, he's min price this week, yeah. Chad Campbell, there you go.
Yeah, he's the same price as Chaurasia, the Indian sensation.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, give me Chad Campbell every day.
Yes, I will take that as well. And I think that's going to do it for us. Anything else you wanted to say, John?
No, I think I said it all.
All right. Well, make sure you head over to iTunes. You check out the RotoViz radio station. Subscribe. Leave a comment. They're always running contests over there. If you want to win a free RotoViz hoodie, they usually have something going on. Just go to rotoviz.com and you can find out there. Check out the On the Daily. There's a separate station for that on iTunes. So make sure you go ahead, subscribe to both, download the episodes, leave comments, rate us. It's all greatly appreciated, and it helps, you know, push what we're trying to do here over on RotoViz. So you can find John at Gambling Johnny. I love that handle. And you can find me at Bearded DFS. Good luck this week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.